NetFront Presence is brought to you by Closets by Design. Update your closet, garage, office, pantry, and more. Imagine your home totally organized. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
Welcome to the NetFront Presence. I'm Jeff Gordon, the Post Dispatch, joined by our beat reporter, Matthew DeFranks. This is the happy offensive explosion version of the net front. Our heroes have broken out for 37 goals in 8 games. It hasn't always been pretty, Matthew, but more entertaining anyway. Still a lot of work to do, but at least on the offensive side, Jim Montgomery has to be pleased.
Yeah, they beat the Ducks last night 6-2. It was the fifth straight game that they scored at least 4 goals, which was the longest streak in about 2 years for the franchise. And in those last 8 games that you mentioned, averaging 4.625 goals a game, most in the NHL, which is quite a change from the previous 8 games before that, when they averaged 2 goals, which was the worst in the NHL. So quite a flip for them to go from the worst offense in the league for an 8-game stretch, including 5 games where they scored 1 goal, and to come out like they're playing right now. It seems like they're putting up 4 every night, and three out of the last 5 nights has resulted in wins. Obviously, the games in Columbus and Minnesota didn't go their way, but the fact that the underlying metrics show that they've improved the defense under Jim Montgomery, and now here comes the offense coming the way. So it's been a good stretch for the Blues to see their complete game round into form a little bit more. It's just got to be more consistent, and Jim Montgomery and the Blues know that.
Now, the what jumps out at you, a couple things. One, they've got 2 scoring lines, which has been the goal since the start of the season. The attempt earlier in the season was to make Pavel Buchnevich a center and see if that could balance things up. Now, between Dylan Holloway's emergence, Jordan Kyrou driving play, Buchnevich happily relocated to the wing, you've got 2 good groups clicking, plus really an offensively skilled blue line that stepped up with more production as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. That Holloway-Shen-Kyrou line has been really good for them. Just looking at it right now, the Blues have outscored teams 10-5 with that line on the ice, and they've done it by controlling, about 57%, or 61% of the shots on goal, a decent amount of the expected goals. Like, they've been a line that controls the puck, that pushes the pace, that gets both the underlying results and the actual results in the net. So they have provided what the Blues were kind of looking for at the very start of the season, right? Like, that was a reason why they had Pavel Buchnevich at center, because they didn't have a consistent second line that they could really rely on. And they've provided that now. I mean, last night, Holloway gets a goal. Kyrou gets a goal. Shen has 2 assists. Like, they're putting up the numbers that you would expect from a second line in this NHL to do. So they've shown up, and that's been a huge help. And as you mentioned, I think I kind of overlooked the impact of the offensive defenseman on this whole thing, and how much that their scoring has impacted the bottom line. I mean, going back to, I think, probably the game or two before the Winter Classic, when Fowler scores against Nashville. They have the Winter Classic where Fowler has 2, Falk has 1. Pareko has that bomb in Columbus the other night. Like, they were getting a lot of goals from the back end, and that's added a little bit more depth scoring than just have 1 or 2 scoring lines.
Now, a couple goals that you like if you're the coaching staff. You hear every coach say after every game, you got to get to the inside. You got to drive the net, and a couple of examples of that against the Ducks, who, admittedly, the Ducks still a growing team and maybe not the most defensively stout group in the history of the league. But, Robert Thomas attacks the net, follows his own shot, chips in his rebound. Nice play, attack, go down the middle, attack the net, backhand follow. And then, Cam Fowler throws a puck on net, gets it through, and Kyrou driving that at the right post, chips in the rebound on the inside. And, you know, every coach says it after every game. Apparently right now the Blues are listening.
Yeah, and yeah, I think you are right about the Ducks. I mean, that Dumoulin-Trouba pair, they had a rough go of it the other night. I think, you know, that Thomas goal to start the game, it was a turnover by Trouba.
Oops.
Yep. I think it was the Kyrou goal or the Tucker goal. I can't remember, where Trouba had a turnover in the neutral zone that gave the Blues possession that ended up in a goal. And then Dumoulin kind of gets walked by Pavel Buchnevich when he drives to the net. Like, it was tough defending for Dumoulin and Trouba out there last night. But yeah, you're right about the Blues going to the hard areas. Like, every goal other than, you know, the Tucker and the Holloway ones were in that high danger area. I mean, Thomas was in that spot to capitalize on a turnover. Kyrou was on a rebound. Thomas on the rush for a second one where he basically went 1-on-3 and won the puck twice basically, and then Buchnevich just driving from the circle to the crease and dunking it. Like, all those plays are strong plays, confident plays that they're getting to the right areas. And yeah, I mean, that was something that when the Blues were struggling to score during that like Florida swing, when they scored one goal in Tampa, one goal in Florida, that was a point of emphasis from Jim Montgomery. It was, yeah, we have the shots, we might have the possession, we might have the odd man rushes, but they're not getting inside enough. And it seems like that's changed a little bit more.
All right. Now, I've asked you this question before, and what you just described reminds me to ask it again. Okay, so here's the thing. The Ducks are rebuilding. We get that. For some reason, they decide they need to bring in Jacob Trouba. Now, maybe they know that they've got a deal where they can flip the guy later, but Jacob has lost a couple steps. He's having a terrible year for the Rangers. He's being shopped. This is a leader of a team that went in the tank. He's being shopped by his team. Every sign indicates that this guy's on the downward side, but the Ducks decide we got to have Jacob. Got to have to have Jacob. Must have Jacob Trouba, right? Then Cam Fowler, a beloved figure, okay, maybe, you know, banged up this year, hasn't been the same player, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he's like Mr. Duck, young family, the whole bit, and they trade him. You tell me, would they rather have Cam Fowler, who's a beloved teammate, or a guy who's a pylon, Matthew? I mean, let's not beat around the bush here. This guy can't play anymore. Maybe he's cool, but come on.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I mean, they are different players, and I think, you know, Trouba does bring an aspect that a lot of guys don't anymore, just the way that he hits people. There was a couple times last night where it looked like he was lining up Holloway in the neutral zone, and then Holloway kind of sidestepped it and got free, and you could see he was going out there doing what he does. I mean, he's a heavy hitter, and I think he had a big hit on the wall during a power play. I can't remember who was on, but yeah, he hasn't been as good. If you look at his cap hit, he's at $8 million. Cam Fowler on the Blues after the retained salary from the Ducks is at $4 million, and one of them is producing a lot of offense. And I get, yeah, they're different players, and part of the reason why I think the Ducks looked to get rid of Fowler was because of the young D that they have on the way, right? Like, they were one of the few teams that had a lot of young prospect defensemen, and that pretty much allowed them the luxury to be able to trade a guy like Jamie Drysdale in the Cutter Gauthier deal, because they still had Pavel Minchikov, because they still had Olin Zellweger. Like, they had guys on the back end that were coming, that were on their way, and I can see how a puck mover like Cam Fowler, they would want to kind of find a different home for him. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the Fowler, the way that he's played in St. Louis, and the way that, you know, we saw Jacob Trouba play last night, you look at what the Ducks have done, and there's no doubt who the better player is right now.
Yeah, and look, I respect Trouba. I've followed his career. he is a hard rock guy back there. But they have Radko Gudas, who does the same thing, right?
Yep.
And Trouba, you know, a couple of years ago, he could at least do a little bit of offensive production. He could be a legitimate top four guy when paired with a puck mover, for sure. You know, he's been that guy. You know, he's been one of the better guys in the league, but that was past tense. So I just didn't get it. I mean, I understand trading Fowler if you hadn't already. That makes sense because I have those two other D-men, one on each of my fantasy teams. So I know those kids can play, have a big upside, but I just didn't get adding Trouba. I don't know what he would bring to the group, because especially after he was a failed leader, but that's their problem. Meanwhile, pretty cool thing, Matthew, the way the Ducks and Blues both honored Cam Fowler for crossing the 1,000 game threshold. And man, they got that painting done in a hurry to capture his moment at the Winter Classic.
I was thinking about that too. Like, they had to commission it probably maybe the next day. Like, I don't, and also you knew that the 1,000 game was coming. This has been a gift that the Blues have given throughout the years. So they've given it to, you know, I remember when they, Ryan O'Reilly came back with Nashville, when Jaden Schwartz came back with Seattle, like they had some paintings commissions for those guys as a gift. And so this isn't a new gift from the Blues, but if you know that you're giving him a painting and you know a 1,000's on the way, were you just waiting for a moment in the Winter Classic to pick one out and say, yep, that's the painting. That's it right there. I don't know. Yeah, it is funny how that all worked out, but a very cool ceremony for both teams, because it's not often that you see the visiting teams included as well. You know, I was talking to Ryan Strom in the Anaheim room after morning skate, and he had mentioned that they gave Fowler his gift the night before at the hotel. Fowler came over and met them. And so I was like, all right, so what'd you give him? And he said, well, you'll have to wait and see tonight, because a lot of times visiting teams aren't included in these ceremonies. So I wasn't sure if the Ducks would even have someone, you know, skate over and give him something. But yeah, very very, very cool to see. I think the two video departments worked together on the highlight video for Fowler. The Blues players got him a golf trip. The Ducks got him a Rolex. And so, you know, he got the customary silver stick. He got the crystal. He got the painting. It was cool to see kind of both teams be involved. And I'm sure when the Blues go out to Anaheim in March, that'll be an even more emotional night for Fowler, returning to Southern California and to a place where, you know, he played 991 games, was the longest tenured Duck. Like, he had a lot of time out in Southern California, and I'm sure that'll be bringing up some memories in a couple months.
Imagine your home totally organized. Closets by Design is offering 40% off plus an additional 15% and free installation. Schedule your free consultation today. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN for details. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Serious question. When Matthew DeFranks went back to Dallas for the first time, was there a video board tribute?
No, there was acknowledgements in the press box of people making fun of me because that's just how it goes. But no, I don't know what they would even include in a video tribute for, you know, it would just be me holding my recorder at the side of a strum. Maybe some Notre Dame stuff. Go Irish, by the way, go Irish. I think that would be probably about it included in a video tribute.
Now, when you look at the Blues now, I think, and I keep marveling at it. And again, this was it's a hard game to judge because the Ducks weren't very good. But when you see Holloway kind of looping around out there, controlling the puck and for extended periods of time, again, you just have to wonder, how, and I think even the Blues are surprised. I think they thought they were getting a really good third line guy, a top middle six guy who could be part of their nucleus. But it just goes to show on player development that, it takes time, and sometimes you end up with a lot more than you thought, and sometimes you end up with less. But clearly, this is a guy watching him play in this scoring stretch that he's had here lately, where he's just been on fire. I got to think the whole league's a bit surprised, and especially Edmonton's got to be really disappointed.
Yeah, I think his production is probably an even greater surprise than what Philip Broberg has brought on the back ends. Because when they signed Holloway to that offer sheet, you look at it, say 2 years, $2.29 million, and like, man, that's an overpay for a guy who has never produced at the NHL level, right? Like this is a guy who had 9 goals, 9 assists in 89 games. Like, you're basically a 15-ish point pace across an 82 game season. You're paying $2.29 million for him. Like, that's an overpay, right? And now you look at what he's making and you see his production and you say, oh my goodness, that is a deal that they got for him. So I think the deal that he signed set the expectations a little bit lower because it was an above market deal. They signed him to that knowing that it was going to be above what he had actually earned, with the idea that he would grow into it in a couple of years and they would sign him to a more market driven contract in 2026. But I struggle to think about where the Blues would be without his 15 goals and 17 assists. Like, this is a really necessary part of what they need on offense, right? Like, he's second on the team in goals, he's third on the team in points. Like, with the down year that Pavel Buchnevich has had, Robert Thomas missing 12 games, Braden Schenn, he's got going a lot more lately, but you know, still overall, I think not where the Blues would expect his numbers to be. Like, Dylan Holloway has provided a lot of value for the Blues team, and right now it's 13 points in the last, I think it's the last 8 games, I want to say, after a 6-game pointless streak, and that followed a 7-game point streak. So he's been really hot and cold recently, but the fact that he's been showing up and producing like this is a big thing for the Blues right now and also in the future. I mean, this guy is 23 years old. He's 3 years younger than Jordan Kyrou. Like, if we think about Kyrou as being a younger player all the time, always 3 years younger than that. He's got a lot of room to grow, and he's going to be putting up, you know, if he stays on this pace, he'll be approaching 30 goals, which is far and away what the Blues would have expected out of him. Like, if we think about Kyrou when he was 23, I'm looking at it right now, he had 27 goals in 74 games. So if Holloway can approach 30 goals and be on that path, it'd be another great find for the Blues.
It's important too, and we talked with or Doug Armstrong talked about the prospects and where you stand and where the team was at the midway point. You're hoping Snuggerud can come in, Jimmy can come in at the end of the season, maybe get a little taste of the NHL. You're hoping that Dvorsky continues his progress. He predictably did very well at the World Juniors against his peers, still learning how to play against men. You can't rush these guys. You've got to make sure that they progress. You want more from Zach Bolduc, but you've got to be realistic and careful there too, that you don't lower his ceiling. Keeping all of that in mind, having a guy like Holloway come in at his age and produce and be at a takeoff point helps the team now, but it also just alleviates some of the pressure or would be pressure on these other guys that are going to have to develop in behind him.
Yeah, and I think we both have seen enough of this that we know not every prospect is going to pan out. It's just not going to happen. Some first-round picks will play 20 games in the NHL and move on to a different team and bounce around and find different roles. Like, it's just not going to happen where you have every prospect panning out and every prospect being a top six offensive guy, right? So the more young guys you can add to the system, the better chances you have of more of them panning out. It's just a numbers game at that point. And I think the other thing with Holloway is that he fits that kind of middle ground, right? Like, Kyrou and Thomas are still young enough where they have great years ahead of them. And, you know, Dvorsky's 19, you know, Snuderud is 20. Holloway's 23. Like, he fits that middle ground where you can start to build waves of talent. And that's something that was a big, you know, tenet of the Stars philosophy. Honestly, like, they wanted to build wave after wave of talent. And so at the time you looked at Ben Sagan, Klingberg, and that gave way to, you know, Hintz and Hastonen and Robertson. And then after that, they got Johnston and Stankoven and Bork and Harley and like those guys. So that's something that you look at with the Blues right now. You say, okay, well, they have Thomas and Kyrou in that mid-20s. They got Holloway, Broberg in the early 20s. And then after that, you have all the teenagers that they've been drafting in the last few years. And so if Holloway and Broberg are able to continue this, you're starting to build waves on each other. And that helps not only from a sustainability aspect and lengthening a window, but from a cap perspective too. You know, we know the long-term deals that Kyrou and Thomas have signed. And, you know, I think we've talked about this over the last 2 years now, how much of a steal that they will end up being in the life of those contracts at 8.125. So you have those guys at their numbers, and then you'll have, you know, a guy like Neighbors who's already locked in for a few more years. You'll have some cap certainty, and you'll have guys coming in on entry-level contracts at a time where the Blues are potentially turning that corner and becoming contenders again. So when you can build those waves, it helps in a number of different ways. And that's not even mentioning, you know, obviously we know the veterans that the Blues have and how experienced their blue line is and how experienced some of their older guys are up front too.
It's going to be an interesting challenge on both Broberg and Holloway. I mean, Broberg was always going to get paid money going forward, once you can talk extension, because D-men are so precious. It's so hard to find a guy who can play a top four, top five role, who's got upside, got the kind of physical tools he has with the previous pedigree. He's getting paid, and I assume even after just 1 year, bridge contract versus a long-term deal, you know, that'll be interesting. Holloway may want to bet on himself to see if he can get, you know, even bigger money, or he may take really good money, because it's going to, for him to sign a long-term deal, same with Broberg, that's going to be a real nice problem for Doug Armstrong to have.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where you wonder if how heavily they weigh doing it this summer. You know, they're eligible for an extension on July 1. I think we saw it with Jake Neighbors, where they talked over the summer and said, hey, you know what, like, we want to see him do it again after scoring 27 goals. And then, you know, a month into the season, there he is signing an extension. So it's something that, you know, the Blues have shown a willingness to sign a third contract with term. And so that's what, you know, Kyrou and Thomas did. They haven't shown an ability to do that a lot for second contracts. I think it's basically been Pietrangelo and Tarasenko that have signed long-term second contracts. But with Broberg and Holloway, this will be the third deal. And if they keep up what they're doing right now, I don't know where that market ends up just based on their final numbers. But if you're them, you just went through an offseason of kind of upheaval. And in a way, how interested would you be in signing an extension that keeps you stable in one place after going through that last summer? I don't know.
It's interesting. I look at a guy like Owen Power taken at the top of the draft, getting pretty gigantic money pretty early. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a nice player, and he's going to be a very, very nice player. He's got all the tools, right? Broberg not picked nearly as high, but kind of look at the guys and like, okay, they seem pretty similar. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of Owen Power other than, you know, here and there. I love the size. I love the ability. I know there's so much upside with him. You know, big frame and all that, maybe a little higher upside than Broberg. But man, if you're Phillips camp, you're looking around at guys like that, and you're seeing other guys who are very young on D sign big contracts.
Yeah, I think, you know, you'd have to have him produce a little bit more offensively. Since he came back from the injury, like the offense hasn't been there a ton. You know, overall, he's got 14 points in 30 games. And I know points aren't always the best way to measure a defenseman's value, but that's how a lot of them get paid. You know, you're either a point producer that gets paid the big bucks, or you're shutting things down on the back end and you get that kind of money. But if you're not producing a ton and you're not a pure shutdown guy, then it doesn't, you know, a lot of guys don't make money in the eight range, right? And you look at it right now, I'm scrolling through some of the young D that have signed big recent contracts, and, you know, Mo Sider, he's 23, he's at 7 years and 8.55. You know, Power, as you mentioned, is in the first year of a 7 year deal at 8.35. Jake Sanderson in Ottawa, he's 22, he's in the first year of an 8 year deal at 8.05. So, like, yeah, as you mentioned, there have been a lot of young guys that have signed these types of long-term deals, and those are second contracts that those guys are signing right out of entry level. So Broberg would be in a little bit different situation in a longer term deal. The Blues might be signing, or yeah, might be signing some of his UFA years if it gets to that. So that tends to be a little bit more expensive than buying out RFA years for younger players. So I think there's also, you throw in the cap rising and, you know, what a new CBA looks like and what that cap looks like in a, not just next year, but the year after that, because that's the year that we'd be talking about Broberg and Holloway's first year. It's a lot of unknowns, and that's where you wonder and you think about, well, the Blues think that they know what these players are. But do they know what the environment is around them, what the cap's going to be, what the new CBA looks like before they commit to one of these deals, before they have to?
Yeah, it's hard to say that Broberg's in the same level of a Sider or yeah. Sanderson with his offense. Sider's all great all-around defender. But, you know, he's pushing in toward that direction anyways. And again, guys are getting paid. All right, last thing on the net front with Matthew DeFranks of the Post-Dispatch this week. I want to talk a little bit about the Blues ownership and give a shout out to Andy Taylor, who's passing his share of the team to his niece, who's heavily involved with, was heroic really in helping bring the soccer team here, putting the enterprise money behind still another St. Louis project. I'll just say this about Andy Taylor. I sat there when the whole city thing came to light and they got the team. I'm standing there talking to Andy. And you can call him Andy, okay? And you can just talk there and talk to him like he's just a guy. This guy's a billionaire. Just sat there chatting this guy up for a while. Just billionaire. And he's put money behind everything in St. Louis. And he just talks about, yeah, you know, here's the business, family business, started out of a dealership, blah, blah, blah. Made all this money. Privately held company worth, you know, billions and billions of dollars. Impressive. So I got to give a shout out to him. And I think I think the Blues ownership's in pretty good hands. But what's most impressed me about this group is since 2012, they end up buying out the other ownership group. They've spent money. There's been no wavering. And even this year in the middle of a retooling, they paid up to get a coach. They paid up to add a player like Fowler when this is clearly rebuilding. It didn't pay all of his money, but still took on money. It's impressive what this ownership group's done.
Yeah. And I think I was having conversations with someone yesterday about the Blues' willingness to spend money right now, because we've seen the transparency from Doug Armstrong, at least you know, with the vision, what the plan looks like, trying to be competitive now, building for the future. And I think a lot of fans have seen that and also appreciated that it wasn't just like a, hey, we're just slashing payroll and we're gonna trade away the X and O and bring in young guys. Like, they've still spent to the cap, partially because they had to. I mean, some of these contracts they have, like, they weren't going to be able to move. So partially they've had to spend to the cap recently, but going out and getting Broberg and Holloway, like those were maneuvers because they had cap space. Like they didn't have to be at the cap this year. They had cap space in the summer. They didn't have to do that. Going out and getting Fowler, like they had cap space because of Crude on LTIR. And they didn't have to go get Fowler for the next 2 years at $4 million and a cap hit. So they've had the cap space when they're in these situations, and they've still decided to use them with the long-term vision in place. And that's something that I think should be appreciated at least a little bit. And so, yeah, they have spent a lot of money and they still want results. I mean, I think they would still be disappointed if the Blues missed the playoffs this year for a third straight season, and they'll have to get really hot in order to disrupt that. But from just a pure, you know, dollar perspective in terms of valuation, my goodness, this has been quite an investment for that group. Forbes valued them at $1.45 billion. And I don't know what the valuation was on the minority stake that was sold to Carolyn Kendall, or even the one that David Stewart sold over the summer to Michael Riney of Scott Trade Money. But I know this, the Stewart one was less than 5%. And even if we look at $1.45 billion, and 5% of that is about $72.5 million for a 5% stake in the team. And this whole team was sold for $120
million. Yeah, like exactly.
The ROI there is insane. So I'm sure the ownership group is happy with that. Obviously happy with the Cup win in 19. I think they, you know, Tom Stillman brings that kind of down to earth attitude that you were talking about before. So they have a lot going for them, I think, in the ownership group perspective. And I can't say that the sale of the stake changes much in terms of direction of the team or hockey operations or anything like that. I don't think it impacts it really at all. But the fact that they're able to keep a St. Louis ownership group, I think, is important to them.
Yeah, I think the fact they've had the ability to get cash when they needed cash, they had the ability to invest and invest when they had to invest. They've invested a lot of money in this. Now, to your point, this franchise is worth somewhere between 5 and 10 times as much as when it was purchased. Pretty good appreciation. On the other hand, you know, to get to that appreciation level and get the team off the edge where it was for so long, you had to pour a lot of money into it. But if you've got money to pour into it, and they did. Now they can look and say, you know, if some billionaire came along and wanted to buy the Blues, given the scarcity issue, it could be $2 million. I mean, that'd be an overpay, but you know, how many teams are for sale? So anyways, but shout out to them. They didn't have to do all that. And there's another team in town that's not doing it right now. So I don't think that's been lost on the fan base.
Yeah, and like I think that's also another thing. I think the cap almost helps the Blues in a way. Like they can point and say, hey, look, like, we might have a worse team. We still have these contracts. We're still trying to get young players at over market value. Like we're still trying to do these things. And, you know, there's not obviously not that system, a hard system in baseball. There's, you know, that soft cap system. And sometimes when you do that, it could just look like cutting salary without a plan.
Well, and that's a topic for the best podcast in baseball. We'll be working on that here soon with Derek. So Matthew, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it. A reminder to all of our folks listening to this on their podcast app to check out all the cool stuff we have on stltoday.com. That is the digital edition of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. A lot of extra stuff that is not in the print edition or in the e-edition. Keep in mind that our website and our app have just tons of stuff. So until next time, for Matthew DeFranks, I'm Jeff Gordon. This has been the NetFront Presence. See ya.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.